Hello, fellow shooters. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. This is Bob Main, your host of the Handgun World Show. Thank you for tuning in to episode 7, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about my favorite hobby, which is handguns and the shooting sports. You've tuned in to a very practical podcast on firearms. I try not to get real technical with these shows. I just want to give you some ideas that I have about shooting, about owning, preserving, taking care of, and shooting accurately and carrying handguns. Every once in a while I do a show that is a little bit of a departure from handguns, so I'm going to change it up a little bit today. We're going to talk about some handguns, but we're also going to kind of change it up and talk about a few long guns as well, because I think it's necessary for everybody to own those as well. But let me start off with a couple of announcements. First of all, my apologies to all of you who were subscribers to this show when I first started it, and recently there's been some technical difficulties, and I had to, for some reason, the iTunes feed was not working. And you can also search the Handgun World Show on iTunes. Just go to the search function in iTunes and type in Handgun World Show. There was a problem with it, so for all of you who subscribed, I want to ask you to go ahead and subscribe to it again. This will keep you up to date on new shows that I post, or if I just put any kind of a blog post up there, you'll be notified. You can either go to iTunes and you can click subscribe, or you can go straight to the website, www.handgunworld.com, and there's a big orange button right there on the website, and you can click subscribe. And then you can use any kind of an RSS or feed reader that you wish to keep track. And if you don't have an RSS or a feed reader, you can go ahead and sign up for one when you click the subscribe button. So my apologies. I'm not really sure what happened, but I did get this podcast successfully resubmitted to iTunes, and it's there now, and it's updating the new episodes as I put them up there. So again, my apologies, but thank you very much for your patience on that. And the other announcement I want to make is I am going to start a forum, a discussion forum on the Handgun World Show, and I'm probably going to be starting that early next week, Monday or Tuesday. So that's another reason why I want you to subscribe, so that you can also get notification, because I'll put a blog post up letting you know about the forum as well, and then you can start carrying on some good discussion with other firearms owners. All right, that pretty much takes care of the announcements. Let's dive right into the main topics. Let me give you a little firearms refresher course. This is something I found on another site, and it's also over on my survival website. If some of you, by the way, are interested in survivalism, self-sufficiency, independent living, living a more secure life, more independent, getting out of the system, things like that. If you're interested in that, also check out today's survival.com. I do podcasts on survivalism as well at www.todayssurvival.com. Okay, firearms refresher course. I've got, let's see, what do I have on my listing here? How many different refresher? 17. I have 17 different basically topics that I want to refresh your memory on the subject of guns. Number one, here's a quote by Thomas Jefferson. I like this one. Those who hammer their guns into plows will plow for those who do not. Thomas Jefferson. In other words, you hammer your guns into plow, you're going to be doing the plowing for those of you who aren't that foolish. Thomas Jefferson was a big promoter, a big proponent, excuse me, of the Second Amendment, and he's one of the major reasons why we have a Second Amendment to the Constitution. Something else, number two, I want to remind you of, those who trade liberty for security have neither. John Adams. Number three, free men do not ask permission to bear arms. Isn't that a good one? And number four, an armed man is a citizen. An unarmed man is a subject. I'd like to change that to an unarmed man is a victim waiting to happen. Folks, this is not a very friendly world we live in anymore. I'm sorry. And you can read all the statistics that you want and all the newspaper articles about how violent crime is going down. It doesn't matter whether the rate of violent crime is going down or not. If it happens to you, you want to live, don't you? And there's a big misconception, there's a myth that I want to bust right now, and then we'll continue with the firearms refresher course. I want to bust a myth. I want to get rid of something out of your mind right now. If you carry a gun, if you carry specifically a handgun, there are people that are going to think that you are a radical. And they're going to think that you're somebody who likes to shoot people. They're going to think that you're a killer. Gun owners like that get a very bad rap. I hate that. I just want to strangle anybody that starts talking about gun owners like that. The vast majority of firearms owners are good, law-abiding citizens. There are states in this country you cannot even purchase a firearm unless you have a clean background check. Which, that's a whole other subject. I may do another show on that. There's pros and cons to that, but you know, they've got clean backgrounds. These are law-abiding citizens. These are people who take their freedom seriously. I have a friend of mine that has a bumper sticker that says, "The Second Amendment is the one that makes all the other amendments possible." Think about that. We are law-abiding citizens. We're not a bunch of killers. We're not a bunch of Rambos out there walking the streets. We just want to stay alive. If we are attacked, we want to be able to defend ourselves. We have a right to defend ourselves. We're not radicals. There are people that are even considered liberals from a political standpoint that carry firearms. You want to go see another good site if you like to surf on the internet and read blogs? Go to guntotingliberal.com. Guntotingliberal.com. Pretty interesting perspective from liberals who are of liberal persuasion when it comes to politics, but they believe in the right to protect themselves. So we're not a bunch of crazed idiots out there. Really would like to get rid of that perception. Now, sometimes firearms owners bring that kind of negative perception upon themselves sometimes with stupid stuff. I might get into a little bit of that. Depends on how the rest of the information that I share with you, how it goes. But also, number five. Let's talk about number five here. Only a government that is afraid of its citizens tries to control them. I like the saying, fear the government that fears your guns. What is it about not allowing citizens to own firearms that the government is so afraid of? What is it they're so afraid of? Number six, gun control is not about guns. It's about control. Isn't that the truth? Gun control means shooting where you're aiming. Bad attempted humor there, isn't it? But really, gun control is about just another way to control us, just another way that the government can try to control us and put their thumb on us somehow. Another way the Big Brother can be watching out for us. Number seven, you only have the rights you are willing to fight for. And this, you know, this amendment, the Second Amendment of the Constitution is one of the amendments that our soldiers have fought and died for. You know what really bothers me about people out there that don't want citizens to own guns. They're picking and choosing which parts of the Constitution that men and women of our armed forces died for or fought for. Even if they're still alive today, they still went and they fought for to preserve our Constitution. Well, the Second Amendment's part of our Constitution, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. That's part of today's subject, is what exactly does the Second Amendment mean? Why did it come about? You can't pick and choose which part of the Second Amendment applies. I mean, excuse me, which part of the Constitution applies and which doesn't. The whole document applies. And you only have those rights that you're willing to stand up and fight for. Number 8, no guns, no peace, no safety. And the second half of that is, no guns, no peace, no safety. In other words, if you know guns, then you know what it's like to have peace, and you know what it's like to have safety. And if you don't have any guns, if you have no guns, there will be no peace, and there will be no safety. I know you've all heard the saying, if we outlaw guns, then only outlaws are going to have guns. It is true, folks. That is true. You are not going to stop guns from getting into the hands of criminals. Just ain't going to happen. Number 9, you don't shoot to kill, you shoot to stay alive. It's what I was talking about earlier. You want to live, and you have just as much right to live as your attacker. You know what hacks me off? You know what really, really hacks me off big time? Why are there people, I don't care what country you're from, why are there people that feel like anybody does not have the right to live versus their attacker's right to live? In other words, they say, well, you don't have the right to carry a gun. Really? So in other words, you get to pick which life is more important, mine or the person trying to attack me and take my life from me? Who are you to decide that? Who are they to decide that I don't get to live, but my attacker does? I'll just leave it at that. Number 10, assault is a behavior, it's not a device. I like that one. I want to drop the term assault weapon. I want you, if you're listening to this podcast and my show, to drop the term assault weapon. This is my opinion coming out here. And you know what, folks? You can't do podcasts and you can't do shows like this on subjects as sensitive as firearms without having some kind of an opinion. So, let me apologize in advance if I offend you in any way, if my opinion offends you. I really don't mean it to offend you. I'm speaking my mind, and you're always welcome to comment. You're always welcome to give me your opinion. There's a comments section below the posting of every podcast. You can put any comment you want. I will allow any comment to come through. I don't censor comments. I encourage disagreement. Just have a really good reason for your disagreement. Back it up with some facts, and I'll post it, and I may even talk about it on another show. But let's get rid of the word assault weapon. Assault is a behavior. It's not a device. That's one of the best things I've ever seen written about firearms. You know, an AR-15 is not an assault weapon. It's a semi-automatic, high-capacity rifle. If it's used to assault somebody or a group of people, that's not the weapon's fault. That's the person behind the weapon. You can assault somebody with a lever-action rifle. You can assault somebody with a single-shot shotgun. You can assault somebody with a six-shot revolver. You can assault somebody with a .22. Are those assault weapons? Well, they could be. It's a behavior. It's not a device. But you get a bunch of gun haters. They don't call those other weapons assault weapons, but they call that AK-47 or they call that AR-15 an assault rifle. Come on. How come today my Marlin lever-action rifle, chambered in .357 Magnum, how come today that's not an assault weapon? But back in 1894, when that rifle was designed, the people who were using that had a significant advantage over their adversaries, And I'll bet at that time in 1894, the people fighting against people using those lever-action repeating rifles would have called them an assault weapon back then. Because they were getting their butts kicked from the soldiers using the repeating rifle. But roll the tapes forward, and today it's not an assault rifle. It's a behavior. Plain and simple. So I want you to drop that from your vocabulary, please. Number 11 of the firearms refresher course is a good one. 64,999,987 firearms owners killed nobody yesterday. What that means is, you know, every time somebody kills somebody with a firearm, it makes the news. But what about the other 65 million gun owners that didn't shoot anybody? Wouldn't you just love to see a news report that said something like this? Well, on the streets today, so-and-so was killed by a 9mm handgun, fired by somebody who was irresponsible. However, 64,999,987 responsible firearms owners didn't shoot anybody. So, thank you for listening to the evening news tonight. And with that, we will wrap it up. Wouldn't you like to hear some kind of a news report like that? Don't hold your breath. Number 12, the United States Constitution, circa 1791, all rights reserved. I'll just leave that one the way it is. That one doesn't need any more explanation. Number 13, the Second Amendment is in place in case politicians ignore the other amendments. I love that one. The Second Amendment is in place in case the politicians ignore all the others. Number 14, what part of shall not be infringed is difficult to understand? And let me use this to talk about a little bit about the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia is part of the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia, necessary for the preservation of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. I think I got that pretty much word for word there. Okay, my opinion. What did they mean by a well-regulated militia? You have to understand, back when the Constitution was written, they spoke differently than we speak today, and words meant something different than what they mean today. They meant regulated. Regulated didn't mean what it means today, as in government regulation. It didn't mean government restrictions. Regulated meant well-equipped. It meant well-trained. A well-equipped and a well-trained militia. The Founding Fathers felt that that's what was necessary, that the militia needed to be well-trained and well-equipped. Now, there's a big argument. Who do they mean by the word militia? Well, here's the Bob Main Handgun World Show opinion on who the militia was. Look at the Constitution. And how does it start? What's the preamble? We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, do establish and ordain the Constitution of the United States of America. Okay, in the preamble, they say, we the people. The people, they were talking about us, the citizens of the United States. And the men writing the Constitution were writing on behalf of the people, the whole body of the citizenry that lived here. Well, if you believe that, in almost every, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find an American that would argue with you. If you ask them, well, who do they mean by we the people in order to form a more perfect union? Everybody's going to say, well, that meant us, the citizens, the people. Well, the second half of the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, isn't that the same people they were talking about in the preamble? In the beginning of the Constitution, when they wrote, we the people, if you believe those people are the citizens, then you have to believe that the right of the people to keep and bear arms means the citizens. and thank God for our United States Supreme Court this past summer, that ruled that firearms ownership is an individual right of the people. So the militia they were talking about was made up of the body of the people. So they felt that there needed to be a well-regulated, a well-equipped, a well-trained militia made up of the people, and that those people needed to have the right to keep and bear arms. And those people were the same people in the preamble of the Constitution being the citizens of the United States of America. So there you go. That's the Bob Main explanation, opinion of what all that Second Amendment means. Fear the government that fears your guns, folks. And that pretty much leads me into number 15 of the firearms refresher course. Guns only have two enemies: rust and politicians. Unless you're carrying a Glock, right? No rust enemy if you're carrying a Glock. Ah, just a joke. Just a little bit of an attempt at humor there. If you listen to the previous episode on Glocks, you'll know what I'm talking about. Firearms refresher course number 16. When you remove the people's right to bear arms, you create slaves. And number 17, the American Revolution would never have happened with gun control. So there you go, 17 points that I wanted to quickly present to you as a little refresher course on why we have and why we own and use these things called firearms. Okay, now let me move into the next topic. I often get asked the question, and I've read this question on different gun boards that I read, what should the average citizen own to keep themselves well protected? In other words, the question is not just about handguns, but they also ask, well, what types of firearms should people own to consider themselves well protected? Here's my opinion. Again, it's an opinion, but I'll explain myself. And again, if you have a difference of opinion, feel free to explain yourself in the comments section of the blog. I think you should have at the very minimum one of each of the firearms that I'm going to talk about. One of each. Minimum. You should have one handgun. Of course, this is the Handgun World Show. That's what I'm going to say. You should have one handgun. And I'm not going to answer the question, what type. You can go back and listen to the previous episodes and get a pretty good idea. But you should have a handgun for various reasons. Because they're portable, because they're easy to hide, because that is probably what's going to be available to you most of the time in order to defend yourself. You also should have a shotgun. You should have a shotgun of some type. I highly recommend 12-gauge or 20-gauge. I know there's 410s and I know there's 16-gauge shotguns. 16-gauge is kind of an outdated, lost shotgun. There's not a whole lot of them made anymore. It's hard to find ammo for them. They were supposed to be a happy medium between a 12-gauge and a 20-gauge. I've shot 16-gauges. I don't really notice a whole lot of difference between the 16-gauge and the 12-gauge, and you give up a whole lot of power. So, I mean, if you're going to go up to a big bore shotgun, get a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge. And I think it was episode 2 I talked about shotguns. There's nothing wrong with a 20-gauge shotgun. A 20-gauge shotgun with double-aught buck, if you use that for home defense, a 20-gauge shotgun with double-aught buck is 4 times more powerful than a 45 ACP handgun. 4 times more powerful than a 45 handgun. Is that enough for you? And, of course, 12-gauge is going to be even more powerful than that. You need to have a shotgun for various reasons. Not only are they a fantastic defense tool, inside of 25 yards, and again, folks, inside of 25 yards, show me a weapon that's easily obtained, more powerful than a 12-gauge shotgun loaded with copper-plated double-aught buckshot. hard to find inside of 25 yards that has more stopping power. But another reason to own shotguns? For hunting, obviously. They are an extremely versatile weapon. In fact, I think I would say that a 12-gauge shotgun is the most versatile weapon on the planet. Let's talk a little bit about that. The versatility. There's so many different types of rounds you can put in a shotgun. Birdshot, buckshot, steel birdshot for hunting, waterfowl. You can put slugs in a shotgun, as long as you have a smooth barrel, smooth bore shotgun. So basically now you're shooting a 1-ounce slug if you're using a 12-gauge out to 50 yards pretty accurately, and you got a lot of power. You can put in a shotgun, you can even put flares. You can shoot signal flares out of a 12-gauge shotgun. There's special rounds for that. There's so many different types and sizes of shot. I've got a friend of mine that believes in mixing lead buckshot and copper buckshot in his shotgun. He's got a pump, and it's easy to do that. You can put four rounds. I think it's his pump's a 4+1 or a 5+1. You can put a couple of lead in there and a couple of copper in there, because the copper buckshot is going to have a longer effective range than the lead buckshot is. The copper generally holds a tighter pattern if you're shooting buckshot, and the reason it does is because the shot itself doesn't deform as badly when it's shot out of the barrel of the shotgun. So it generally, not always, but generally holds a tighter pattern for a longer distance. So if your adversaries are far or if they're near, you can choose which one to fire at them. Try doing that with a rifle. Try doing that with a handgun. You don't have the flexibility of different types of ammo with handguns and rifles that you do with a shotgun. So everybody should own one. And also, of course, you know, as I mentioned, for the hunting of it, if you're in a survival situation and you got nothing to eat and the stink has hit the fan, you can pretty much hunt anything with a shotgun. There's not much you can't hunt with a shotgun at 50 rounds or less. 50 yards or less. Again, just depends on what kind of ammo that you put into it. That's the versatility of it. So own one. And shotguns are very inexpensive to own. You can get a really good shotgun that will serve you well for $170 at a sporting goods store. And if you shop around for used ones and you know what you're looking for, and you go back and listen to one of my earlier episodes about buying used weapons, I've seen good shotguns for $100 at gun shows. You also should own at least one center fire rifle. Now, for those of you new to firearms, there's a difference. There are center fire rifles and there are rim fire rifles. A center fire rifle means that the firing pin strikes the round right in the center of the primer. And that's what fires the round. And if you look at a rifle round that's been fired, you'll see a little dimple that's been made by the firing pin right in the middle of the case. That's a center fire rifle. A .22 long rifle, for example, the firing pin hits it around the rim of the cartridge, and that's what makes the round fire. So when you look at that, you're going to see a little dimple, or you're going to see a little mark on the rim of the cartridge. You should have a center fire rifle. Center fire rifles are more high powered than rim fire rifles. And you should have a center fire rifle in a common caliber. A common caliber would be a 30-30, a 30-06, a 270, a 308. Those are very commonly used calibers. The reason for that is because if you need to take big game, that's the best weapon to have if you're going to be hunting big game. Also, if you're going to be defending yourself, I can't forget about the .223 and the 7.62x39, which is the AK-47 round. For self-defense, those center fire cartridges are really hard to beat. for self-defense. So, especially long-range self-defense. Now, this is rare. I think long-range self-defense with a rifle, by the way, here comes my opinion again, but I think that's way overblown. If you have to shoot somebody beyond 50 yards, you better have a really good explanation as to why you did it. Actually, if you got to shoot somebody beyond 10 or 15 yards, I think you better have a really good explanation. A really good explanation as to why you did that. And I'm going to refer you to another podcast that I want you to listen to. I want you to listen to another podcast, and the title of it is The Bison King. The Bison as in Buffalo King. Sorry, I had some technical difficulties there. Anyway, I want you to go listen to The Bison King. And the reason I want you to go listen to The Bison King, I'll let you figure out why they call it that, why they named it The Bison King. As a matter of fact, you'll see that, you'll hear that when you listen to the podcast. It is about the justice system gone all wrong. It's about people who get framed and imprisoned for not only a crime that they didn't even commit, but it was even proven that they were never even at the crime scene. It's about overzealous prosecuting attorneys. It's about a political statement that prosecutors and a sheriff wanted to make, and they wanted to advance their careers. And this happens all the time. And it reminded me that if you're going to use your weapon, you better have a damn good reason for it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. If you got a damn good reason, then use it. But if you got to shoot somebody that, and they're more than 15, 20 yards away, and you're going to claim that that's self-defense, have a good reason. But there still might be times where you're going to want a rifle. A centerfire, high-powered rifle is going to put them down. And if it is beyond 25 yards, then it is going to be more effective than your shotgun. Mainly from a hunting standpoint is why I think you should have a centerfire rifle, though. And the fourth type of gun you should have at least one of is a rimfire rifle. And I would say that should be a 22 long rifle. You should have a 22. 22s are fantastic. You should have some kind of a 22 rifle, even if it's a single shot. Here's why. 22s are very cheap to practice with, so you can practice your shooting skills at a very, very low cost. I think the last time I bought a brick of 22 ammo, a brick is about 550 rounds. I think it was like $14 or something like that. So you can have a heck of a lot of fun shoot 550 rounds of 22 for, you know, $15-16, whatever. And especially if you have a 22 handgun, you can practice your handgun shooting. But also, if you want to be discreet, if you don't want to be heard while you're shooting game, 22s don't make a lot of noise. And you can buy subsonic rounds. Subsonic means they're very quiet. They don't break the sound barrier. It's very difficult to hear them. And you're not going to destroy a lot of meat when you shoot some game with a 22. So there's a lot of advantages to having a 22. Those are three of them. They're also great weapons to put in the hands of kids when you're teaching them how to shoot safely. Make them take a hunter safety course. Stress safety over and over and over and over again, but they're excellent for getting kids involved. So again, the four that I think you should own at least one of: a handgun, a centerfire rifle, a shotgun, 12 or 20 gauge, and a 22 caliber handgun or rifle in 22. But I would say, since you already have a handgun of another caliber, get a 22 rifle. But nothing wrong with a good Ruger 22 pistol also. Once you've got at least one of each of those four, then if your budget allows it, if you could pay cash, no credit, expand your collection beyond those. But that's going to pretty much cover all your needs. If you have to use a firearm for some reason, pick one of those four, depending on whatever situation you're in. That's probably going to cover it. And again, you know, if you're budget conscious and you need to shop gun shows, or you need to shop stores for the used deals on firearms, nothing wrong with buying a good used firearm. Remember, most firearms don't get shot very much before a person wants to sell them. So you can usually find them in pretty good shape. And go back and listen to one of my episodes. I don't have all my show notes in front of me regarding buying used weapons, but you can easily listen to that podcast. Again, your needs are pretty much going to be met with those four. And okay, the next thing I want to cover real quickly, and then we're going to bring this show to a close. Kind of a short show today. I'm putting together some information, and the next episode is going to be on the Kahr brand of handguns. That's spelled K-A-H-R. I've covered 1911s. I've also covered Glocks, which are polymer pistols, or the leading polymer pistol out there in terms of number of pistols sold. I'm going to talk about Kahr brand of pistols. They are single-stack, very concealable pistols, and in my opinion, they're very high quality. There are some disadvantages, which I'll talk about, but I'm doing some more research and I'm putting that together. I own two Kahr pistols. That's Kahr Arms, K-A-H-R. They're American-made. They're single-stack. I'll explain, if you haven't had a chance to listen to one of my other shows, what single-stack means and what the advantages of having something that's single-stack. They come in 9mm, 40 caliber, and 45. Matter of fact, the Kahr Arms P45 is a really cool, very concealable 45 pistol. And what I like about it is no safeties that you have to worry about. So I'm going to put some research together, and that's going to be part of the next episode. Then I'm going to get into some gun rights. So next episode is going to be kind of split, a little bit on the Kahr Arms brand of pistols, and then on some gun rights, how they're being threatened and what you can do about it. So thank you for tuning in to Episode 7 of the Handgun World Show. This is Bob Main. This is your host for Episode number 7. Thank you for listening. Why do I carry a gun? Because cops are too heavy. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.